Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, actor, director, and playwright, Jack Betts.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Smokey Miles. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, thank you for that, Mark, and thank you for that moniker, the Master of Change, because it reminds me every time you say that, that life does change, and I can accept, and I can go along with it, or I can do something about it. And so, in this moment, life changed for me. Why? Because I have met Jack Betts, and I don't say that lightly. This is what happened. I had a monologue already planned in my head, and I thought it was going to be perfect, and I liked it. And then I met Jack Betts, and he changed my monologue, and it all culminated just seconds ago. As he was telling me he's going to be producing a version of Sunset Boulevard, and we were talking about a song that gives me goosebumps, and then he and I started to sing it to each other, and as we were stumbling through the lyrics, and then I went and looked them up, and here are the lyrics that I want to share, because this to me brings together everything I've experienced so far with Jack, and I'll explain in just a moment. And this time will be bigger and brighter than we knew it. So watch me fly. We all know I can do it. Could I stop my hand from shaking? Has there ever been a moment with so much to live for? Now, we all have met many celebrities and many people who have done a lot in their life. For many of these people, and I'm not putting them down, but their story is, this is what I did, this is what I did, this is what I did. But what Jack said to me from the moment he stepped into the studio was, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. And here, it totally switched my whole, I mean, for a man who's done so much, you think he would say, okay, I've done it, and now I'm done doing. No, he's teaching so that others can learn from what he has to say, like we're all going to learn from what he has to say today. But the lesson in that, and it goes with the words, and this time will be bigger. And brighter than we knew it. Like he was, even in our conversation, he was directing me forward to what's going to happen in the future and where we could go. And as this lyric ends, has there ever been a moment with so much to live for? I got my hat to Jack Betts, but we're going to be talking about some of what he's done, because he's got some great stories in there, and some of what he's going to do. I just have to say chapeau to Jack Betts, and so glad that you're here, and also looking forward to Smokey Miles being on the show, performing live for us here on the Life Changes Show, right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark. And Mark, you actually titled the show a long time ago. When you were able to get Jack Betts on the show, you titled it Lights, Camera, Life Changes. Hello. And that's exactly what that song was about. By the way, it's from Sunset Boulevard, and it's called As If We Never Said Goodbye. But it talks about the lights and the cameras and stepping on stage, and this is the moment.
This is the part of the excitement of the Life Changes show. We know what we know, and sometimes we know what we don't know. And it's exciting to watch things unfold as we go. And it took me about 20 minutes to scroll through Jack's credits when I was on IMDb.
Yeah, right.
And so I couldn't be more excited to have him here to share his many stories and vast wisdom.
Me neither. And we don't just have Jack Betts on the show. We also have Hunt Powers. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. However, Jack has done so many things. And it's interesting how he's an actor. He's a singer. He's a playwright. He's a director. And he's going to tell us some great stories. But I should just say he's done a lot of spaghetti westerns. And he's also done Spider-Man and One Life to Live and Falling Down and Gods and Monsters. And then we'll also talk about his plays. In the meantime, welcome, Jack Betts.
Mon plaisir. It's great to be here. The only thing in life that is permanent is change. Mm. And that's something we have to accept. And just as you said a moment ago, the name of your show, I think, is a wonderful idea, because we have to learn to accept it, because it's going to be here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Indeed. Well, speaking of a long time ago, you said, as a very young child, I want to do that. So you were watching, was it Laurence Olivier or something?
I saw Laurence Olivier on the screen, and I said to my mother, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And she said, okay. So she gave me everything I really wanted. I mean, tap lessons, singing lessons, everything. And I was raised in Miami, Florida. And the first gig I had was, they had a radio show where kids could entertain. And so I sang. And I remember I sang Green Eyes, and I sang it in Spanish.
Ojos,
Ojos Verdes.
Ojos Verdes. I've sung that.
And I won first prize. And those days, the audience was in the studio, in the radio studio, it was on radio. And I won first prize. When I heard that applause, I thought to myself, wow, I like that a lot, Then I began singing a little bit more. I used to sing at the USO shows, because Miami, Florida was one of the major military bases, And I used to sing at a lot of those. And I began in school also getting in plays, And writing, I began even writing I wrote something called Green Mansions.
This was a play you wrote at like 11?
Something I wrote when I was, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 years old.
Wow.
I just remember that.
Wow.
And so I've been doing it since I was 10 years old. It all started then.
Wow. How does this little boy from Miami, Florida, parlay his way into Italy and spaghetti westerns? This I got to hear.
Well, you're jumping a lot of years, my God.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Jeez.
We only have an hour.
Okay. Okay. Well, I graduated at University of Miami and went to New York. And I wanted to, I just knew about New York. I wanted to live on 42nd Street and Broadway. And of course, you can't. I mean, that's insane. It's filled with movie theaters and everything else. But I was crazy about going to New York, and I did. And I got a job in a lamp factory.
A lamp?
A lamp, making lamps.
Making lamps, okay.
For $28 a week. This is after I graduated. And a friend of mine came up from, she was in my acting classes at the University of Miami. She came to New York, and she called me on the phone. She said, I'm doing an audition scene for the Actors Studio. And I said, what the hell is that? She said, it's where all the famous people go. And of course, everybody does. Everybody did. And she said, would you do the scene with me? And I said, sure, be glad to. So we worked on the scene for about three, 4 weeks. We did it. The next day after the audition, Lee Strasberg called me at the Lamp Factory. How Lee Strasberg got my telephone number at the Lamp Factory, to this day, I don't know. And he said, I saw the scene last night. Would you like to study with me? And I said, no. Shows you how stupid I was.
Well, did you even know who he was?
No, I didn't know who he was.
You weren't stupid.
And so he said, why? I said, first of all, I don't think anybody can teach anybody how to act, and secondly, I can't afford it. He says, you're wrong about the first, and I'll take care of the second. Come and see me.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I did, and I got a personal scholarship with Lee Strasberg for 3.5 years. And then I auditioned for the Actor Studio. This is Lee's private classes. Mm. Then I auditioned to get into the studio. And oddly enough, it was on my birthday. I worked on the scene for about 6 months. And it was my birthday when I did the audition. And the next day, and I kid you not, it sounds so crazy, Kazan called me at the Lamp Factory.
The director?
Yeah, Ilya Kazan.
Everybody's calling you at the Lamp. What did these people at the Lamp Factory say? It's like you're probably the only one getting calls.
I don't know, but I thought, how the hell he could, and he said to come in and see him. I thought, oh my God, this is like God making an appointment with God, and you know, he was such a famous man at that time. And so I went and I talked with him in his office for like a half an hour, and he said, he talked about everything but the scene, everything but acting.
Mm-hmm.
He said, can you play Brick and Cat in a Hot Tin Roof?
And don't tell me you said no.
No, I said, you bet I can. He said, okay, I'm putting you on the National Company in Chicago in 3 weeks. I'll put you on the show. So that was really my first major.
Did you leave the Lamp Factory? Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, well, of course. Because then I really became a working actor.
Do they just forward your calls now directly to you?
No. No, but it was interesting how that happened, because the Actors Studio changed my entire life. Because before I became a member or even studied with Lee Strasberg, I knew nothing about Stanislavski or the method or any of that. And yet I had been doing plays in Miami, Florida, knowing nothing about how deep acting can be and how exciting it can be.
Mm.
But Lee Strasberg has been my mentor, or was my mentor, for years. And his wife, Anna, is still my mentor. As a matter of fact, she's helped me produce a couple of my plays at the Marilyn Monroe Theater.
Oh, wow. And, here in town.
But Lee was really changed my entire life.
Wow.
It was very exciting. And then
Clint Eastwood called you at the Lamp Factory.
No. No. Oh, you make the story. Anyway, I got to tell you how I came into the whole Spaghetti Western thing, because I was living out here in California, and I was going on my way home, and I lived in Laurel Canyon. And I'm talking 1965, 60, 66, something like that. And I thought, well, why don't I call my agent just for the hell of it? And it was at Schwab's. Schwab's was located at Crescent Heights and Sunset Boulevard. That was a famous, the
Is
most
it
famous.
Like a drugstore or something?
A drugstore, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Lana Turner was discovered, and, you know.
Wow.
Anyway, so we didn't have cell phones in those days, so I had to get out and make a phone call. So I called him, and his name was Paul Connery, and he handled a lot of very, very famous people. And he said, I said, anything going on? He said, yes, as a matter of fact, there's an Italian director here. He's been in New York for 3 weeks looking for somebody to star in three films. And would you like to meet him? And I said, well, you certainly would. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And I was. Now, in the meantime, my agent had shown him my work, because I had done a lot of television by then, Perry Mason and Bonanza and things like that. And so I met the director. His name was Franco Giraldi. And we hit it off immediately. I could speak no Italian. He spoke practically no English. But we got along very well. And he said, Jack, I didn't change my name yet. He said, Jack, do you shoot the gun? And I said, oh, yes, my gosh. As a matter of fact, I've won several sharpshooting contests. I never had a gun in my hand in my life.
Wow.
And he said, do you ride the horse? I said, yes. I mean, quite an equestrian. I go 3-4 times at my friend's ranch. Never been near a horse.
Oh, wow.
So he said, I think this is very good. I would like you to come to Italy and Cinecittà in 3 weeks.
First of all, he was Italian, right?
He was
so
Italian.
He knew you were BSing him, and he loved that about you.
No.
It was that attitude you were talking about.
He believed it. Like, he really did. Playing. He believed it. We hit it off wonderfully. And he said, can you be in Cinecittà in 3 weeks? And I said, again, yes, I can.
Of course.
You bet I can. Well,
which is in Rome, Italy, by the way.
Day after that, I called my friend who happened to be working at John Wayne's ranch, and I said, you've got to teach me how to shoot a damn gun, and you've got to teach me how to get on and off a horse. I said, I'm going to be going to Italy. Anyway, I did. And also at that particular time, I was being handled public relations with Helen Ferguson, and she said, Jack, you cannot go to Italy with the name of Jack Betts. And I said, what's wrong with that? She said, the name has no music to it. The Italians will wonder who you are. You're going to say, come si chiama, and you're going to say, Jack Betts. She said, no, no, you got to get something better. So she did some research on my family's history and found Powers on one side and Huntington on the other. And she put them together, Hunt Powers. And she says, that's the name you're going to go to Italy with.
And that's why earlier in the show I said, not only is Jack Betts here, but so is Hunt Powers.
And that's I changed my name, and I was known as Hunt Powers. And it was interesting because, you know, you think, well, what's wrong with my name? My name is wonderful, you know. But it was true. They needed that name. There's somebody, you have to call me Hunt Powers. Hunt Powers. You know, this is Hunt Powers. Anyway, that's it was great. Great fun. It was a wonderful. I went there to do three pictures, and I ended up staying for 6 years, and I did 21 films.
Wow.
And you not only came out of it speaking Italian.
Street Italian.
Street Italian.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. All right.
By that I mean, you know, I can't really write it very well. I don't spell Italian very well.
Conversational. Street Italian makes it sound like thug or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
So parliamo adesso italiano, vero?
Okay.
Che cosa leggere adesso?
Sto leggendo I domande che ho scritto per te.
Okay.
Okay? Is that all right?
Va bene.
He's directing me in Italian. I was going to say, when we come back, you also learned something else about yourself in Italy. About being yourself, actually. The story that you related with that is brilliant, and I learned from it as well. So when we come back with Jack Betts or Hunter Powers, either or both, we'll get to talk about Italy and La Dolce Vita.
Sì.
And so... and
veramente La Dolce Vita.
A little later on, we're going to have live music by Smokey Miles here, live in the studio at Studio NoHo. All on the Life Changes show when we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, and sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jack Betts slash, or a.k.a. Hunt Powers, who you just remembered the name of the film. What was it?
Wuthering Heights, starring Laurence Olivier and Merle Oberon.
And this is when you were 10, and you said, this is what I want to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you did so much more. So we're talking to Jack Betts, and then he talked to us about how he changed his name to Hunt Powers when he went to Italy, and you became Hunt Powers. So in Italy.
Yes.
You learned the language, street, yes. Conversationally, and you also took a little bit in of the culture. What culture exactly was that?
Well, the culture, I thought, more than the culture, I think I found out who I was when I went to Italy. I went there with my own ideas, my own way of life, my own mannerisms, my own philosophies and so forth. And it took me a couple of years to catch on to what life was really about and what I was really about. Because the Italians have an extraordinary way of life, that the most important thing in their life is this moment. Hmm. And that is the hardest thing to do. They have dinner with you, they love you, they're crazy about you, you have a marvelous time with them. They may forget who the hell you are the moment they leave. But the moment that they're with you, they live that fully. Mm. And that's very hard to do.
Mm. Interesting.
Because of their passion for life, and also the fact that, again, being with you now is the most important thing. Mm. And that's very hard for us to do, because our mind is over to think, well, I got to be here at 7 o'clock, I got to be there, I got to do the show, I've got to do that and everything. Mm. No, you got to stay here, you know? Mm. And that, it took me a couple of years to get off my own back about my disciplines in terms of the car had to be there exactly at 6 o'clock in the morning to pick me up and so forth. And I thought to myself, no, it doesn't really have to be there at 6, so it gets there at 6:20. What's the difference? Mm. The most important thing is that when they went to work, they went to work. They play at life, and they play at life, which is what they really do.
I love that phrase, they play at life.
Yeah, they really do. Mm. It's a game with them, but they love it. Mm. And it's not that it's not sincere or honest. It's very, very honest for this moment. You know? Well, you're Italian, you know.
I'm Italian-American, so
in this moment, you're Italian.
In this moment, I'm Italian, right.
Because one of my favorite things, too, forgive me for interrupting you, but the book by Eric Toll called The Power of Now.
Oh, right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And I have a little sticker I put in my car that says, stay in the now. Mm. Because it's very difficult to do, because particularly in our society today where we're being bombarded so quickly with everything, you have to say, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm in the studio here, Mark is on my left, Filippo is on my right. We're having a good time.
We are having a good time. We're so glad
you're
here.
When is the wine getting here?
In the now. And you can put another sticker in your... I heard. You can put another sticker in your car and quote yourself, get off my back. Get off my own back.
Get off my own back.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. Stop being such a snob about everything. And I guess I wasn't being really a snob. I was just sticking to certain things, rules. This is the way life should be. No, it shouldn't. Life changes every second, you know, as we started this conversation. The change is the most important
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And there's another phrase that I like that you said. It goes like this. Mm-hmm. Actually, you named a play that.
I did, yes, and I learned that from my teacher, Milton Katselis, who I studied with for 28 years. He was an extraordinary human being, and he said that you wait in the wings for the moment that you're ready to go on, and you can't be worried about being nervous. You have to all of a sudden say, bam, it goes like this, and go. Mm. And the analogy I always use for myself, as I was telling Mark earlier, the Olympians, the guys who are on the Schlelem at the top, and they're waiting for that second that says 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Mm-hmm. You can't turn back. Mm. You can't say, am I going to be able to do this? Is this going to work out? No, baby. Mm. Go. Mm. And it's hard to do that sometimes, but you have to trust yourself and say it goes like this. And I wrote my play basically about that, about two brothers, and they were parted, and one was homosexual, and the other one wasn't. He became a general in the army and so forth, and 35 years later, he is asked to come and pick up his brother's things. And he goes to this house, meets this lady, and...
Well, because his brother died, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he talks to this lady for about an hour. She's a famous artist and everything. And he said, where did my brother live? She said, he lived right here. And he said, there are no pictures or anything of him around anywhere in this room. And he looks around the room, and she turns to him, and she says, turn around, you're looking at him. So the woman he's been talking to for the past hour and a half is his brother.
Oh.
And that is the basis of the play. And she turns it really in a way, and she's, it goes like this. My life, it goes like this. You know. Anyway, that's basically, I didn't mean to go through
talk
the whole play.
Talk about life changes.
Yeah, talk about life changes.
Yes. Wow. And I say that a lot because you think certain things are supposed to happen a certain way, and you say to yourself, no, it's not happening that way. Okay, it's going to go like this. It is what it is, you know.
Wow. You have written several plays, actually. You've written a play since that was just recently produced or is going to be, or you've written five altogether,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
And so...
One is called 1-800-SAVE-ME. Another one is called Friendly Acquaintances. Then it goes like this. And then Screen Test Take One, which Doris Roberts directed.
Doris Roberts, right. Yeah. And by the way, condolences. We know you were very close in many ways.
Thank you. I'm going to say something just off the, about friends, which is terribly important for all of us. I found that the best friend that I have, the one that has never failed me, ever, is my talent. That has never failed me. When I've been in the lower depths of whatever through the years and so forth, I've always been able to turn to my singing, my acting, or my writing. And that's not conceit. That's ego that we were talking about before.
We were talking about that. I liked that. Yeah.
No, it's very, very important that in times of getting depressed for whatever, I have to say to myself, no, wait a minute, you know. Maybe I can sing something next week at this club, or maybe I should sit down and write a few words of dialogue, or maybe I should work on a scene. That has been my lifeline. My talent has been my lifeline.
You used your talent to lift yourself up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in so doing,
there's never failed
others.
Me. Pardon?
And in so doing, lifting others.
Yes, I think. Because it's so important to be aware of the now that we were talking about earlier, and be aware that what you have is a blessing. What you have is a blessing. What you have is a blessing. Mm. And what I have is a blessing. My ability to be able to do, to be able to create. And nothing gives me greater pleasure than to be creative. And I think you're born, I think one is born with that seed, creativity. Because, you know, see a lot of people that are doing their jobs and everything, and you look at them and you say to yourself, I wonder if that's what they really wanted to do. Did this person always want to be a banker? Did this woman always want to be a waitress? You say to yourself, what did they really want to do with their life? Did they do it? And why didn't they do it?
You think a lot.
You say I drink a lot?
Think a lot.
They're close because they go together, drinking and thinking.
Oh, there's a moment.
That's a whole other show, actually.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, when we come back, quick, go to a commercial. When we come back, I want to talk about one of your greatest loves. You obviously said your talent, but I want to talk about singing, and then I want to talk about what gives you, maybe you were born with it, but what gives you this idea of thinking forward? It's not just about thinking in the now, but you think forward. And so many people, this thing about, oh, I'm over 40, I'm over the hill. And it's like, excuse me? What are we talking about here? Or 50 is the new 40? No, I don't think so. You know, we're going in the right direction, but we're far from where we need to be on all of this. So where do you get that, and how do we share that in this moment with others? And in a little bit, also we'll also have live music by Smokey Miles here on the Life Changes Show, all right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jack Betts, also known as Hunt Powers. He's an actor, singer, playwright, and director. And if you want to learn more about him, you could go to jackbetts.net. Hey, that rhymes. jackbetts.net. And Betts is BETTS.net, jackbetts.net.
People used to say Jack Betts on horses.
Jack Betts, very clever.
I heard
Jack
that all Betts my life. Horses. Jack Betts on horses. Forgive me for interrupting.
It's okay. He's been working in theater and film and television for...
No. Careful. You're getting into a dangerous area.
For a
area
long
now.
Time.
We're not talking about that. No age.
I wasn't going to say ageless.
This is an ageless time.
He was going to say over 10 years.
Since he was 10. Right. How about that?
Okay, I'll buy that.
And so to me, what's important is that you have so... Okay, so as an actor, as a singer, as a director, you meet so many more people than the regular person, and mm-hmm. you meet them in so many different ways. because you're working with somebody, you're teaching them as a director or guiding them, or as a student yourself, you have there's so many different ways. You almost have many lifetimes in one lifetime. Hmm. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
My sister keeps telling me, Jack, you've got to write your autobiography. You've got to write your... I said, Joan, no, boring. Everybody's written
boring.
About that. And when I tell some of my stories about being in Russia for 6 months and being with Elizabeth Taylor and Ava Gardner.
Oh,
and
wait
Jane
a minute.
Fonda,
what about Elizabeth Taylor?
Terrific, wonderful person.
Okay.
And also I did the film with her husband, Richard Burton, a film called The Assassination of Trotsky. And he was wonderful, wonderful guy. God, I liked him a lot. Aside from being a brilliant actor, he's wonderful. Anyway, that whole Russian thing is a crazy part of my life.
Yeah, you know. It's a chapter at least.
Yeah, oh,
in
definitely.
The book.
But my sister keeps saying, you've got to write a book, you've got to write a book. You know?
So what is it? Can we put out a shout out to a ghostwriter or somebody that wants to write a really good, exciting book? Jack Betts got a story for you.
Yeah.
In a sense, you're doing that, though. Isn't there a thread of your own personal life in the plays that you've written?
I think so, yes. I think I'm in... I don't know which character I am, but I am in those, obviously, or I wouldn't have written them.
Mm.
You know, they all came out of me, a part of me.
Right.
As in each one of those plays that I did.
Right.
You know.
Right. Speaking of characters, has there ever been a character that you didn't want to do?
If the billing is right, no.
If the billing is right, if my name is big enough,
right.
And the money. No, you know, because we talked about this before the show, and I thought it was fascinating that when you didn't like a character, or who was it that said something about when you don't like a character?
I think it was Robert Duvall said something about you have to look for the good part of the character. I mean, Mussolini, I think he played Mussolini. He said the first thing I wanted to find out was what did Mussolini like? What was he like?
Fascinating.
Did he like dogs or cats or fish or whatever? You know,
yeah.
What was the good side
of
Mussolini? Instead of just going immediately for the obvious black. As a matter of fact, one of the films that I played, that I did in Italy, I had to be a really, really evil, evil person, which I love playing. And
wait, you for some reason you also play more dashing, debonair, suave, refined gentlemen, and they're usually wealthy or doctors or
like
CEOs,
I want life to live, yes.
Right?
Yeah. But this particular character that I played, I wanted him to be all in white. Oh. I told the director, I said, I want a whole costume of white, and I want a white horse. And I got it. An evil, evil character. But I wanted to do play just the opposite.
Well, juxtaposition.
Of what everybody thinks.
Wow.
You know? So,
clever. Interesting.
So I made this guy really very, very charming, but don't turn your back.
You know? Okay, so what about when you don't... You said something about if you don't like a character, you have to find out what it is about you. What was
the good,
it?
The good side of the character.
No. You also said something about, like, what is it inside of you that doesn't like that character?
Yes, because Jack Lemmon is the one who said it, as a matter of fact, that if you find a part that you don't want to play, that means you should definitely play it, because there's something in there that you are avoiding, which is a part of you. As you, something in this particular character. So he said, that's the first thing that you should do.
When
you find something that you really don't want to read,
confronting yourself.
Yeah.
Something in yourself is telling you not to do this.
Yeah.
What is that part of yourself? So I thought that was fascinating.
I'm told by some amazing people, Filippo, you should do this. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That
was Jack Lemmon that said that. I thought that was very interesting.
Wow.
Whenever I came across a part that I didn't want to play, I said, wait a minute, there's a reason that I'm avoiding this. That made me do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, powerful. And so I trust you've learned something from every character that you did do.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think so, yes.
Okay, you so did. Of everything that you've done, you said the one thing that is just gives you the most is...
Singing.
Yeah.
Baby grand piano and a spotlight, man.
You light up the
when
you say the word.
Heaven. Yeah. I really am. Because there's something, as I was saying to Mark earlier, there's something that's so terribly personal about singing. You can't hide behind Tennessee Williams or the great characters that have been created by great authors. Hmm. You're just getting there in front of a piano and looking at that wonderful audience and saying, here I am, and I want to sing for you. It's very personal. For me, very personal.
Yeah.
And then you see, that's why you see in some of the great, great entertainers, and there are only like five, in the Judy Garlands, and the Barbara Streisands, and the Frank Sinatras, and the Tony Bennetts, you know. There's something about and Frank Sinatra's a very good example of that, too. When you hear him sing, you really... feel the personal thing that he's singing. He's not just singing the lyrics. He's telling you a story. And I think you feel that when you hear Streisand, or when you see Streisand sing, or when you see Judy Garland sing, or even Liza, early Liza, you know, and Barbara Cook, famous Broadway singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's the second that they take before they sing the first note, that second. It's like, you know, it goes like this. It's that moment just before they sing where they bring you in and then they sing. And all the great, great entertainers, as you'll notice that, they take that second of connecting with everybody in that room for a split second, and now I'm going to sing. Anyway, I just like, I could go on about singing forever. I just love doing it.
And then the songs you pick obviously resonate with you.
Yes. Yeah. There are songs that I want to sing this song. I want to sing this song.
I want to say this.
Yes. I want to say, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to say this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a minute or two left here, but we started the show with how you were thinking forward. You're thinking, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm going to be doing, or I'm going to be doing more of. Where did that come from, that mentality?
I think since I was a child, I learned that from my mother, that she kept going. She never stopped. She was always busy doing something and creating something. Or singing or whatever, and that followed through with my sister as well. My sister, who's 91 years old, is still an artist, is still painting, is still going on Fridays with a group of friends and painting at 91 years old, because she loves doing it, because she has to do it. you know, and that's why you have to keep the engine oiled. That's why people, some people say to me, you're still taking acting classes?
Yeah, you're still taking acting classes.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
go every Saturday.
Yeah,
sure.
That's fabulous.
I'm working on Death of a Salesman. I'm working on, you know, directing a portion of Sunset Boulevard. Mm. I've got to keep in the race. I've got to keep my engine oiled, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And my talent is what does it. And that's why I said earlier, my best friend is my talent. That never leaves me. Thank you, Jesus.
So you do it for you?
Yes. I do it because I have to. Mm. Something inside of me says, you have to do this, you know? Mm. It's like, you have to do this radio show, both of you. You have to do it. What would happen if all of a sudden it was all over? You know, what would... You guys would be lost. What are we going to do now? You know? What you're going to do is go on doing what you're doing because you love doing it. And you can tell that. You can tell that. I can see that in both of your faces, that you love what you're doing.
Especially right now. Now I know how you had to do this.
Very important.
Well, we should probably give a shout out. Do I have it right, Mark? Because you and Jack met over 3 years ago or so. Was it Maria Elena?
Maria Elena Infantino. Okay. Yeah.
So big shout out to all of our friends.
Absolutely.
Maria Elena Infantino.
Grazie, Emilia. Grazie, Emilia. Thank you,
Emilia. Right. Grazie, Emilia.
It was his event that we met our other friend, Maestro Dino Zonic.
Oh, Dino Zonic.
And Chris Bennett.
And you met Chris Bennett, and I reacquainted with her after years.
I was trying to figure out, you know Chris, too.
Yeah.
Oh, we know lots of people. We'll talk later.
Oh, God, yes.
It's a big family we have here.
Terrific, terrific lady.
Yes.
Wonderful singer, too.
Yes.
She bought Loretta Young's home.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If you haven't been there, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I've been there.
But, oh, you have. Yeah. Okay, well, great.
I have Jack's, they have a room called Jack's Room down there.
The Jack's Room. Oh, I might have slept in Jack's
right,
Room.
Exactly.
Okay, so, and that's our show. Jack, pleasure to have you.
My pleasure,
Jack.
Me. My pleasure.
Betts. Learn more about him at jackbetts.net. And when we come back, live music here in the studio with... our friend Smokey Miles, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jack Betts. And joining us in the studio is another friend. He is a singer. He's a songwriter. His genres include not only folk, but blues and country and rock. And actually, we probably could go on. He's a soloist. He's a band leader. And it's funny because I'm going to introduce him as Smokey Miles. But technically, I could also say a.k.a. Count Smokula.
You could.
Now, unfortunately, now that I've said that, we have to explain. So first of all, Smokey, welcome.
Thank you, Filippo.
It's good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And if he sounds funny, he's talking past a harmonica that is, okay, yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And technically, you sound funny when you do Count Smokula. Tell us what is that?
Why do you want me to change like this all of a sudden? Count Smokula is a 496-year-old undead from Smokesylvania.
Of course he is.
The land that never was, isn't now, and never will be. But don't get me started.
Okay, so talk about funny stories. So we know that you're the singer, songwriter, and all this stuff, but you were doing a radio show, and tell us how that character happened.
Well, I was doing a public access television show.
Okay.
Called the Smokey Miles Music Hour, which was all acoustic music. And we needed a few minutes to fill out the show. So I started doing comedy bits and found out that was working pretty well. And then Halloween came and the director said, why don't you do something Halloween-y? So I sat around for 3 days and somehow Smokey turned into Smokula, Count Smokula. And I said, wow, that guy would make a great talk show host. And about 7 years later, I started doing the Count Smokula show, the greatest.
Well, that's not the only place you did it. I mean, you started doing it. I saw it on the news, actually, and then it's all over the internet. And I found more on that than I did Smokey Miles.
Well,
and I thought, who should we have on? Smokey Miles, Count Smokula. But we have Smokey Miles today, actually. So happy to have you here. We actually almost worked together. We did a something together, but. I don't want to sound ominous. We did a rehearsal and then
yeah, I couldn't do the show.
You ended up not being able to do the show, you didn't like me, I guess.
No, not at all. I loved you.
I loved you.
Sounded great.
It was Count Smokula who didn't like you so much.
Not even that.
All right. So what kind of music are we going to hear today?
I'm gonna do a couple of my original songs that I recorded. I guess, you know, but in the original me, you know, before
in the original
I was,
you, when you were you,
when I was me before I was Count Smokula, you know, or around that. Yeah, I mean, I wrote them before. There's a couple of the early songs I wrote, and I just revisited them, and I think they still stand up. So
you've done so much in the business, actually. Yet another person who's done so much. Do you of everything in the business? I know you've written for films and TV and for songwriters, and obviously for yourself as well. What part of the business do you like the most?
Oh my goodness! Well, like Jack says, you keep moving on.
Wow!
You know, so whatever is coming up. I mean,
wow.
You know, I do everything from shows like this kind of music to being the 496-year-old Count Smokula,
right.
To being Santa Claus and the Mexican superhero named El Pulpo.
Wow.
Quite no idea. Okay.
And I played.
You mean we could have had Santa here today?
You could have. And I played. I've done some acting. I've played characters like Bob Dylan, Albert Einstein.
Really?
All kinds of.
Wow.
You know, people don't know it.
Good old Smokey Einstein.
Smokey Einstein. Actually, I let's hear a song, and then there's a little tidbit I want to share in a little bit. So, what are we going to hear first?
Okay, this is called Chinatown.
Chinatown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wrote it after hitchhiking from New York to San Francisco, right after finishing, I moved into, finished Princeton University, moved into Manhattan to make records. It was so darn hot, I went up to Woodstock and ended up sleeping in a cow pasture. And I said, I think I better get out of the East Coast. I hitchhiked to San Francisco.
Wow. With a Princeton degree.
Yeah, well, I was singing on the street. I mean, I was starting to get an education.
You made your parents proud.
You know, if my kid did what I did, I would be happy.
Well, it's a good thing. Well, don't tell them that they could listen to the show at lifechangesshow.com. In the meantime, here we have Smokey Miles singing Chinatown live on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
I find myself here, so far away from my home, on the banks of this bay is where I have come to roam. Oh, the streets are hilly ones, you can't see the other side. Have you seen the cable car? I wanna go for a ride. Lights on in Chinatown, laughing Buddhas and dragon wings, honky tonks and restaurants, wanderers, beggars, and kings. Night ended too quickly. Her love was like a sea, open, expansive, enchanting too, the way she gave it to me. Walking past the flats and junkyards, remembering that time, it all seems like a dream to me, laying love on the line. Lights on in Chinatown, laughing Buddhas and dragon wings, honky tonk and restaurants, wanderers, beggars, and kings. Out on the wharf side, sunrise on another day, ships sail out and then roll in, all along the Golden Bay. Lights on in Chinatown, laughing Buddha and dragon wings, honky tonks and restaurants, wanderers, beggars, and kings. Wanderers, beggars, and kings. Wanderers, beggars, and kings.
How lovely.
Thank you.
How lovely.
Thank you, Smokey Miles. You're getting an applause from the other room, and there are our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, just raising her hands and clapping. And,
oh, wonderful.
Smokey Miles. You could learn more about Smokey Miles at reverbnation.com/Smokey Miles, and we have the link on our website at lifechangesshow.com, reverbnation.com/Smokey Miles. We have a sweet video of you also being interviewed there. This was, speaking of sweet, this was sweet, and it's interesting, like we were saying with Jack, you know, when he said, boy, Filippo, you sure jumped many years. Just in the little bit of story you told there, so much happened during that time. I mean, the degree at Princeton, and then, you know, then New York and Woodstock, and then hitchhiking across America. I mean, the whole America. I mean, what a story. And then you end up in Chinatown, and you write a song. You got a song out of it.
Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff.
I bet you did. I bet you did. You know, one of the little tidbits I was going to mention that I thought was pretty funny, you also played Moses.
That's true. That's right.
Well, I'm not lying to you here.
Right,
you.
right. That was a show called Heaven Rocks, Rock and Roll Heaven. It was all the dead rock stars, John Lennon, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Freddie Mercury, and, of course, Jesus, Moses, Satan, and the Burning Bush.
And there you go. And there you have it.
Yeah.
And one other thing before, hopefully we'll get to hear another song.
Sure.
So you had two interesting people come to one of your shows, and they came backstage, husband and wife. They're not here today, unfortunately, but do you remember who might that have been? Can you imagine who that might have been?
You mean the time that...
Can you imagine all the people that came to see you backstage?
Oh, well, no, I mean...
Yoko Ono.
That's right.
And John Lennon.
That's right. That's right. Well, they actually didn't come to see me, but... They came to a puppet show. That was my first
they
job.
They went to a puppet.
In New York.
John Lennon went to a puppet show.
Oh, yeah. With the baby, with Sean.
Oh, okay. You know? Wow.
And Yoko, and Yoko's mom.
Wow.
It was my first job, real creative job in New York, other than...
What were you, a puppeteer?
Well, I started out as a puppeteer.
Oh, jeez. Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things I did as a kid, I was a ventriloquist. I had a Jerry Mahoney doll.
Are you serious?
Dummy, yeah. And I did shows, you know, between that and playing the accordion and the guitar. I was, you know, doing these little shows. But then I got into New York, and I needed a job. So they were hiring puppeteers for the city of New York.
Wow.
Great program in Central Park.
Wow.
Called the Cottage Marionette Theater. It was the Department of Parks and Recreation. And I got a job as a puppeteer, and then I moved up the ladder, and became a truck driver for the puppets, because we had the puppet mobiles. So,
wow.
Yeah, we would go to any neighborhood or hospital or wherever they wanted a puppet show. Do the puppet show.
Interesting.
But
interesting.
In the theater, they had a big marionette production. And then I moved up the ladder and became the composer-producer of soundtracks. So we did like Peter Pan, Rock and Roll, and The Reluctant Dragon.
We could use this again, I think.
Oh, yeah. The theater, to my knowledge, is still going. And my shows ran for a long time. So one day I happened to go to the theater, and John and Yoko and the baby and Yoko's mom were there. And they came backstage, and they said, oh, it was fantastic, you know.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Okay. So what are we going to hear now?
Oh, this one is a different style, I think. Well, this is more bluesy.
And what's it called?
Mississippi, Delta Woman.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Not, oh, Mississippi. Mississippi. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wasn't sure if there was an accent there.
Well, but you know, when
you
I
can't say Mississippi in Italian.
Mississippi. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you a joke about that later.
Oh, later. Okay. All right. So here, here is, and moving along, Smokey Miles singing Mississippi Delta Woman live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Long time ago in the Mississippi Delta, where the air hangs heavy and mystery, in a wooden shack I found shelter. She took me in, she was good to me. Down at the crossroads she gave me a key. I was just a wandering minstrel, my songs and guitar were all I had. She said, I don't care where you've been, just stay with me, I won't treat you bad. I'll be the best that you ever had. Mississippi Delta Woman, I felt it when I met her. That Mississippi Delta Woman, never will forget her. She kept me warm when the cold winds were blowing. She kept me dry when the hurricane shook. She kept me cool in the scorching summer. We went swimming in the bubbling catfish brook. And a hoodoo woman read my soul like a book. Mississippi Delta woman, I felt it when I met her. That Mississippi Delta woman, I never find no one better. Her touch exciting when it came to loving. She had the knack. My restless feet and my soul were fighting them. Moon turned red and the sky turned black. I went down to the crossroads and never looked back. Mississippi Delta woman, I felt it when I met her. That Mississippi Delta woman, I never will forget her. Mississippi Delta woman, I felt it when I met her. Mississippi Delta woman, never find no one better. Mississippi Delta woman, Mississippi Delta woman.
Wonderful.
Hey, Smokey Miles.
Wonderful.
Live here at Studio NoHo. Thank you, Smokey. What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Learn more about Smokey at reverbnation.com/Smokey Miles. Spelled just like it sounds. And actually, we have his link on our Life Changes show page. You can get his music on iTunes, Smokey Miles, there. And also, you could learn more about Count Smokula. Just if you put that in Google, you'll find it. You will.
You will.
What a pleasure! I have to say thank you to Bruce Garnitz for introducing us.
Bruce is great, man.
Yes, indeed. So thank you, Bruce, and thank you, Smokey, for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Filippo.
Once again, thank you, Jack Betts. What a pleasure this show has been, and looking forward to connecting again.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
So with that, I want to give a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as I feel ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.